know, if the members are supporting good policy, then, you know, I see their budget items. That's just something you take into account. I mean, if they're being difficult on things that are important to our voters, because that's really the fight, is really who's going to represent the voters that we got elected to serve and who kind of is doing their own agenda. And Republicans get into trouble when they run on an agenda and then they go up and do different things than what they told. And I think we've seen that in different parts of the country. But so, like, I'm fighting, hey, we told our voters we're going to do this. We got to do it. We got to do it. There's resistance to that. That's just the nature of what you deal with. And so, fine, you know, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. Well, I am going to see that budget. And, you know, man, you know, yeah, there's that road. Oh, really? Okay, yeah, you need a road. Oh, I'm sure that's good. Oh, wait a minute. You know, where were you on our tort reform? Where were you on school choice? Oh, well, I don't know. You know, so you just do it, right?
So the governor, when he was speaking at the Federalist Society on Thursday, came right out in the open and said, yeah, I absolutely use the veto, the line item veto, to punish disobedient legislators. This didn't particularly come as news to us. It was just news that he would be willing to say it right out in the open. Joining us now, we have Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. were you at all surprised that he actually said out loud the thing that we all have seen very specifically in connection to your budget items?
No, I mean, keep in mind, like, so last year, I had several things vetoed, but it wasn't even my most heavily vetoed budget year. Like, I still brought tens of millions of dollars back to Northwest Florida.
Right.
What was funny to me was how he said that was essentially like the circumstance where he would use it. In my circumstance, if he targeted me for personal reasons, it's because I brought to light and railed against fraud, waste, and abuse. You know
right.
what I mean? Like, I just called out the fact that, like, James Uthmeyer stole $10 million in Medicaid funds and funneled it to his PAC. So he doesn't just use it if you're not conservative. Sometimes he uses it if you're more conservative.
If you just don't do what he says. And I take that note. That's fair. I thought it was also kind of funny that this came right after comments about the importance of knowing your powers and the restrictions on your powers and the balance of powers and checks and balances. And I thought, okay. Anyway, I mentioned that in passing. I wanted to give you a chance to comment since that just had happened last week. And I still thought it was an amazing thing for him to say out loud. But as you say, not even only when it's a matter of policy disagreements. Let's talk about the property tax proposal. And let's, before we get into too much of it, let's get the details out. There's several parts of this. And I want, you and I have both read this, and you're the lawyer. I'm just the philosopher. Even you think there are things about this that are a little bit, it's unclear, right? There's things that you're not sure what they mean.
Yeah, I mean, remember, so he's been talking about property taxes for over a year now, and we've been asking, where's the plan, for over a year now. He finally put pen to paper and shared language with us that I received, I think, at like 4 p.m. yesterday afternoon. For the first time ever, he put pen to paper. And we're supposed to be voting on this stuff next week, June 1st through June 3rd. This is, I would say,
after having to review the budget this week for a vote on Friday, right?
Yeah, this is, I would say, not the best way to govern. Of course, you know, this, you know, pushing through some major policy that has dramatic effects on several layers of government, you know, it's a good idea for us not to actually vet it and go through a regular session. I mean, the Florida House tried to have a property tax discussion
right
during regular session, and he insisted on it not being. In fact, the Florida House passed a proposal that eliminated all property taxes immediately on homestead property other than the school property tax, the property tax for public schools, and they refused to take it up. This one's obviously weaker than that in some respects, but it includes the school ad valorem tax as well, which will result in, you know, a dramatic cut to public schools across the state. You know, my, you know, rough math says like almost $40 million in Santa Rosa County, likely over $70 million in Escambia County being cut from our school district's budgets like in the first year in 2027 once when it goes into effect.
Here's how I read it, and you tell me if I've got anything wrong. Starting in January of 2027, your homestead exemption would go to $150,000, whatever it is now. It's $50,000 now. It's the first 25 and then the third 25. And then you have the cap on the overall valuation based on the 3% per year for the Save Our Homes. This would put the entire homestead exemption immediately to $150,000. And then the following year in 2028, it would go to $250,000. And then there's a provision for it to increase after that to the point where it eventually will be entirely eliminated, if I read it correct. But as you mentioned, one of the key features of this is it's no longer just the county slice or the city slice and the county slice. It's also the school board slice. So it would be defunding massive chunks from the counties, from the cities, and from the schools, right? Do I have that right?
Yes. And this proposal also has no protections on keeping law enforcement budgets at least at the same level they are today.
That had been in the House proposal, right? You guys had that in there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it would still, you know, threaten, even our proposal would still threaten law enforcement budgets because, you know, keeping it stagnant this year, you know, going forward, saying you can't go below would still, you know, potentially threaten, you know, increases in law enforcement budgets every year.
Because if you don't have more money coming in, you can't afford a raise. You might not be able to lower it, but you also wouldn't probably be able to fund an increase, right?
Yeah, even our proposal, which protects law enforcement budgets better than this proposal, would still result in like the inability of law enforcement to hire new officers. You know, this one puts no parameters or protections in place for law enforcement agencies. It does allow for ad valorem taxes to be used to pay for law enforcement, but it says nothing about protecting their budgets. There's no discussion about an offset of this. There is a discussion about us setting up some type of a state fund, but we don't have the money in our state budget to supplement and offset local governments to this extent. So it's unclear to me what we'd be doing. And keep in mind, the governor proposing this is not going to be the governor having to address any unforeseen or foreseen problems that this referendum would create if it passed and, you know, part of our constitution. So we got a governor who is, you know, leaving office very soon, who will not be facing any of the consequences of, you know, this policy, who has a track record of already, I mean, he's leaving the next governor in a significant financial hole on so many other things. It's wild. This would just be another item on the list of things that you'd be leaving the next governor to have to deal with.
A couple of things that I thought were interesting about the proposal that we haven't mentioned yet. One is it only applies to people who have lived here for 5 years prior to the homestead exemptions. It's not clear to me whether, you know, like if you've lived here for 2 years, when this goes into effect, would you get the full thing or would you have to have been here for 5 years? But it's very clear that going forward, if you moved here, say, in 2028, you would not get this full homestead exemption until you've been here for 5 years. It would be some kind of a gradual. Is that right?
Yeah. You're right. Like people who have not lived here for 5 years as of today, I'm not 100% sure what they would qualify for every year. In 6 years, if this passed, someone who moved here would have to wait for 5 years to get the full benefit of the homestead tax exemption that this would put in place.
What about MSTUs and MSBUs? Because we have a lot of those here locally, and I couldn't tell from the proposal to what degree this affects it. I mean, I guess an MSBU might not be affected because that's not an ad valorem tax, but an MSTU certainly is, right?
The answer to that question is unknown. I gotta do some more research and talk to some more folks today.
Okay.
About it. Keep in mind, like I've had the benefit of looking at this on my phone so far. you know, I will be getting to a computer very soon. I'll look at all the statutory references in the 11-page proposal and try and discern whether or not the statutory references tie into MSBUs and MSTUs. But okay. It's unclear to me right now. If they would or wouldn't apply.
I think there's also a provision in here that would reduce the cap on non-homestead properties increasing in value from 10% to 5%. So that's a, did you see that? I think that was also in there.
Yeah. So going forward, it looks like starting in, I think, 2028, they couldn't increase by that 10% valuation that they can right now.
Okay. But it sounds like your take on this is there's a lot of weird stuff in here. I'm not sure that it all makes sense. And we're going to be rushed to evaluate this out of the ordinary legislative process where you would have the committees and the testimony and the, you know, adjusting and the modifying and the amending. It's just going to be, hey, come and vote on this and, you know, good luck next week.
Yeah. And I mean, keep in mind when DeSantis was pushing this last year, not this legislative session, but last legislative session back in 2025, we put in $1 million to do a full-fledged analysis, to have a full understanding of all the financial impacts of a proposal like this, and the governor vetoed that money. He didn't want us to study this. He didn't want us to understand the downstream impacts. He didn't want us to understand the net effect to the state and local governments and all the services that we rely on. It's like he does not want folks to understand the impacts that this would have.
Do you think it's designed to fail?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know if it's designed to fail, if it's just some type of political stunt. I am 100% on with eliminating property taxes, but I'm not on board with us doing it without a full understanding of the financial impacts and what, you know, local governments can and can't sustain. I'd be perfectly happy if we had this conversation and also discussed offsets, revenue offsets, to try and lessen the impact. But I mean, $40 million hit or $35 million hit to Santa Rosa County's budget alone, the county commission's budget, that's a significant impact if their budget's around $280 million, you know,
You think you can't afford good roads now, right?
Right. And to now throw in school districts, which, you know, right, we haven't discussed before. By the way, we're constitutionally obligated to fund public school districts in Florida and to keep them at certain class sizes. You know, the teacher-student ratio is constitutionally required to be at certain levels, and it's the state that would have to pick up the tab based on the constitutional amendment. So where's the state going to come up with that money? We don't have the money to significantly offset those cuts to school districts' budgets. And there's no discussion or plan contemplated, and DeSantis has never talked about one. It's we need to be having adult conversations, and this whole process has been designed to prevent and eliminate adult conversations about the net effects of what this is going to do. So right now, like my issues are with the process and how this has been done. It's been done, you know, in the dark night. You know, he's withheld information intentionally. He's dropping this stuff in the last minute. We found out yesterday we were going to have a special session next Monday.
Yeah.
So I'm driving over to Tallahassee to present my healthcare budget tomorrow morning and pass the budget, and then going home on tomorrow night. And then I'll have to come back over on, I guess, Monday through Wednesday to take up this proposal, and you know, I'm not sure if I'm going to vote for it or against it, or what we're going to do, if we're going to change it or amend it. You know, I don't know what the Senate's going to do. I'd be curious to know individual senator by senator what their feelings are on this, because I'm not sure if the Senate has the votes to pass this right now.
Yeah, and of course, this would still be a constitutional amendment. We'd have to vote on it in the fall, even if it did pass, so 60% would have to approve it. But by the way, I forgot, I didn't even mention the part, there's a specific portion that says ad valorem taxes can only be spent on, and it gives a list of like six or eight things, and nothing else. So it's not a, there's no more provision for general spending with, you know, general fund revenue from ad valorem, except if it's on the list, like education, law enforcement, fire service, you know, roads, stormwater, natural resource projects. And I mean, that's kind of it and nothing else. So anyway, it's a very, I don't know what to make of it either. I have a lot of questions. I hope we have a good conversation about it next week. And again, I know you're busy working on budgets. We didn't even get a chance to talk about that, and I kind of wanted to. You didn't realize you were signed up for your last year to be a full-time legislator, but look at you now. Alexandra.
You know, it's a blessing to do the job, Andrew. Yeah. I'm not complaining.
I know. Alex Andrade, he is our state representative for District 2 in his last year, term limited out. Alex, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for helping me understand some of this stuff and keeping us informed. And good luck tomorrow and in Tallahassee next week as well.
Thanks, Andrew.